I'm glad that glad we woke up to a little bit of drizzle and maybe some 40s or something like that. So good to have you here. Tomorrow will be 70, so just in Colorado, right? The weather swifts. If you don't like the weather, wait around 5 minutes. All right. And I invite you to turn your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians, if you would, please. We've got two messages left today and next Sunday, and we'll be finished with the book of Ephesians. I'm praying about studying the life of Elijah. Just a few messages in the Old Testament, the next series coming through. So stay tuned. We'll let you know as the Lord directs here. But let's ask God to help us as we open the Word of God this morning, shall we? God, we need you today. We need you to open our eyes spiritually. We need you to open our hearts that we might learn from your Word today. May the Holy Spirit of God be among us, teach us, move us to a place where we need to be in obedience to your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Boldness to represent. It's the title of the message today. Boldness to represent. Someone once wrote that a minister without boldness is like a smooth file, a knife without an edge, or even a sentinel that is afraid to sound the alarm. Boldness comes from God. We see in these verses that Paul's prayer is that God would allow him to be bold. Let's look at them in verse 19 and 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says in verse 18, his last thing that he was mentioning about the armor of God, that he would be praying always. And part of his prayer in verse 19, and for me, he says, that utterance might be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I want you to know, if Paul prayed for boldness, we also must pray for boldness. Now, we're bold in some things. Some of us have different personalities, don't we? Some of us are shy. Don't want to say anything. Now, believe it or not, when I was in high school, I could not hardly crawl out of my shell. It was hard for me to stand up in front of anybody. We had speech class. I was terrified to get in front of speech, the class, and talk about anything. It was just out of my comfort zone. And God, when he called me into ministry, gave me a little bit of boldness that I could do this. If Paul prayed for boldness, we also should be praying for boldness to represent the King of Kings, right? We need to be doing that. Today, we want to look at how boldness is needed because we represent the King, and we represent him, we need boldness to do that. Now, boldness is needed because of the three things that we're going to be looking at this morning, because we preach the gospel. The word preach is to share the good news. We're delivering the good news, so we need boldness to do that. And it's not just the preacher's job to share the word of God, is it? It's all of our jobs. Because of the times that we live in, we need boldness. Oh, man, the times that we live in are perilous times. We'll look at that in a minute. And then we also need boldness because of the opposition that we face in the world that in which we live. So let's take, first of all, let's look at boldness is needed because we preach the gospel. Now, Paul made it clear that his boldness would be needed because he says, open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There in verse 19, we're looking at this passage that he wants God to help him to have boldness to open up his mouth so that the gospel would be known. Now, we need to speak up so that God's message of salvation can be told. I know some of us don't have a problem talking about things that we're passionate about. I know some of the men, when they get a deal on ammunition, fishing lures, or a camper trailer, they're telling everybody about it. All of their circles, it's like, man, did you know what I did? And when you ladies, when you go to Hobby Lobby and there's a sale on paper, you tell everybody you know. Or the grocery store, when you buy and you see this particular item that you've been looking for, I found it. Remember when we were all looking for toilet paper? Seems so long ago. Now the stores are, there's rolls of them now. But it was a problem. And when we finally found it, everybody was telling everybody, I found mine at this place. It was funny to hear that conversation. But you know what we need to be more bold in? I had an opportunity to talk to my neighbor. Or I had an opportunity to talk to somebody at work. Or I had an opportunity to talk to somebody that I was, you know, we were waiting in line. Those are the things that we need boldness to do. What do we tell the lost? What do we tell them? What do we need to be bold to say? And I've just got some things that maybe will help us. First of all, the world needs to know that they're sinners. And we need to speak the truth in love. There's no easy or hard way to do this. It's just, we've got to just do it. You know, and part of the problem with the world that we live in, and it's been like that from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they took the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to take. Sin entered the world. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that because of that, because sin entered the world, death by sin came to our lives. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And all of us are sinners as a result. We read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6 that teach us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What that simply means is it's not something about a stature issue. It is the fact that we are not measuring up to the glory and the righteousness of God, and we never will. We are sinners because of Adam, and because of our own sin, we sin. We're sinners, and sinners sin. You understand that? None of us in this room have never committed a sin. All of us are sinners. We're none of us perfect. We all are sinners. Now, if you have trouble agreeing with that, 3:23, not 2:23. Yes, thank you for that. Yep, good eye there. I do that once in a while just to see if you're paying attention. I'm just kidding. No, my computer needs to be saved, literally. It needs righteousness. Thank you for pointing that out. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am not able to reach the glory of God. My righteousness is as a filthy rag. There's nothing of good in me, and I need Jesus. You need Jesus, and the world needs Jesus. Many of the problems of our world today are not because we're born on the wrong side of the tracks, because we have a different color to our skin. None of those are true. We are sinners. We are sinners because Adam brought sin to the world. Everybody who's a sinner needs Christ. Romans chapter 6:23 goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God for all eternity. And we need to know Christ as our Savior. So the one thing that we need to be having boldness in is people are sinners. Now, why is that important? You don't know that you need a Savior until you know that you have a problem, right? Before anybody can be saved, they must know they're lost. It's like a guy driving his car. Now that we have GPS, it's not quite as an issue anymore, but I used to be able to have spatial awareness. And we would go to a new area, and we'd be driving around. I'll find what I need to find. If it takes me 3 months, I'll keep driving around till I find what I'm finding. A map? Who needs a map? My navigator? Who needs to listen to that? I'm going to find what I want to find, right? And so we drive around aimlessly. We need to know we're lost before we can be found. I remember one time we were in a new city that we'd never been in for a long time. And I drove around and around and around, finally stopped at a filling station. I says, "Where am I?" And the guy says, "You need to turn, just go two blocks, turn left, and you'll be there." Oh, I was so close, but so far away. So we need to know that we're sinners. The world needs to know that they're sinners in need of a Savior. Now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all in that boat. We all know that what sin is. And so it's not like, ha-ha, you're a sinner, I'm not. It's the fact that we're all sinners, right? And that we all need a Savior. We also need to tell people, the lost, that they must know Christ is the only remedy for those sins. Christ is the only answer. You can be reformed. I'm not talking religiously. I'm talking about changing your ways. You can be enlightened. You can have new habits. You can go to a different job, get a new relationship. All of those things could change in your life, and you would still be lost if you did not accept Christ as your Savior. The problem with people is that we're looking for remedies that are outside of Christ. You know, my life is going this way, so I decided I needed to move. I'd change my job. Or we're tired of living in this neighborhood. It's bringing us down. So I'm going to a different neighborhood. None of that is going to help you if you don't know Christ. He is the only remedy for the sins of your life. We need to understand that no matter what state you're in, I'm not talking about like Colorado, Iowa, Nebraska, any of those things. I'm talking about what state you're in. If you are the worst of sinners, Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Or if we think that we're not so bad, there's people worse than me. I want you to know that because we all have sinned and come short of God's glory, we're not righteous. We will never be able to get into heaven without the righteousness of God in us. We need Christ to save us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Christ died for you. He's the one that paid the penalty for your sins. His blood sacrifice on the cross of Calvary enabled us to receive the free gift of salvation. If we would just ask, call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not something that we've achieved, not because we're better than someone. It's because Jesus' love reached into my life and caused me to understand I needed a Savior because I'm a sinner, and I called on the name of the Lord, and he saved me. That's what the lost need to hear. Sometimes hard to tell them that, isn't it? Well, I would ruin a friendship, somebody told me once, why they don't tell their friend about Christ. It might ruin that friendship. Your friendship would be really ruined if Christ came today, you were in heaven in the glories of God, and your friend died and went to hell. What kind of a friend are you if you don't tell them about the glories of a Savior who died for them? And we need to be able to reach them with the gospel. And how are they saved? Well, they must trust Christ alone for salvation. There's a lot of people doing a lot of crazy things to try to get saved, to try to earn God's righteousness. But all we have to do is ask. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has life. Who believes not the Son has not life, and the wrath of God abides on him forever. I think at this juncture, when you're talking to your friend or your neighbor or someone in line, and you maybe hand them a track. You know, we have some tracks in our track rack that would help you with that. Maybe you can't be bold to, or maybe the time isn't available, but you could say, you know, I want to share a track with you. Can you read this? And maybe the next time we get together, we can talk about it. That gives them time to read, gives you time to pray and to think about what you're going to say and how you can preach, give them the gospel to them. But once maybe that person has come to know Christ as their Savior, isn't that a wonderful thing when that happens, when you've led someone to Jesus and they actually say the prayer and they ask Christ to save them? We need to not leave them without a verse of assurance, and we need to help them with that. But one of the questions that would be a good question to ask is there anything that would keep you from trusting Christ right now? And they might say, I've got an appointment. Okay, I understand that, but this appointment with eternity is really important. And they say, well, I've got to go and do this, or I've got to do that. There's always an excuse to not do something that's so vitally important as your soul and eternity, right? So we ask questions to try and nudge them into a place where they're going to make a decision. Now, I also want you to know something, that there are times when people have literally tried to twist the arm of someone to make a decision when they're really not ready. The Holy Spirit's not in it. They're saying, repeat after me, and they're like, I've got to go somewhere. All right, I'll pray with you. Just get you off my porch or get you out of my life for a minute. I don't know that those are genuine salvation experiences. I think we need to let the Holy Spirit be doing His job, but we let people know the gospel, and God will move them in their heart. Here's what you could do if you had that opportunity to share with someone. You might help them with something like this. Would you pray with me right now to receive Christ? And just say, Dear Lord, I come to you now. I know that I'm a sinner. They could repeat after you, or they could, you could give them the prayer, and you could say, if you mean this, would you read this and just mean it with all your heart? I believe that Jesus died for me and rose from the grave. Right now, I trust Christ Jesus alone to be my Savior. And thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and everlasting life that I now have. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a sinner's prayer. Now, here's a shorter one. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the publican and the sinner that stood side by side, and the publican was like, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. And he was bragging on his good works and all the things that he was able to achieve. And the sinner, it says he smote his breast and he looked up to heaven. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who was more righteous than the other? The one who believed with his heart that God was merciful to him, a sinner. We need to be bold to offer the gospel to people. We need boldness to preach the gospel. That verse of assurance, that there are several that I love, but this one's one. John 5:24. He who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Isn't that a wonderful verse? To know that once you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're never going to be separated from him. Some others that you might want to write down is Romans 8:38-39. Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? John 10:28-30. Tell us about that when God has placed us into his hand, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I love 1 John 5:13 also. These are just some verses that you can write down and you can check with me later if I remember them. But these are great verses of assurance. Remember what Paul said, though, in Philippians 1:18, when we were going through the book of Philippians. He says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. We need to get bold so that we can tell the gospel to people. We need boldness to preach the gospel. And remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel. And if we need to be presenting the gospel, we can't be ashamed of it. We need to be doing it boldly, sharing the gospel. It's our job to, as Great Commission Christians, we are given that commission to share, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, aren't we? And we need to be bold to do that. Hey, listen, if we can tell people where toilet paper is in the store, we can tell people where Jesus is and how to get there, right? We need to be bold. We need also, boldness is needed because of the times in which we live. I believe that we're living in the last days. And Paul said verse 20 that he was an ambassador in chains. He was literally imprisoned for his faith in Christ. We are looking at the times in which we live in today, and I'm not so sure if that's just around the corner for us as American citizens. I'm not sure if the gospel is so hated in the world today that soon it will be that they'll close our church and they will not allow the gospel to be preached. And we might be also in chains, bound because of the gospel of Jesus. I don't know if that will happen, but I'm thinking that there might be a day like that. Well, we need boldness because of the last days that we're living in. The only thing we need to be waiting for before Christ comes is the trumpet sound, and I think that that's going to be very, very soon. Paul outlined what the end times could look like in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just read it to you as you look at it. Paul says to Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." That is a scary list in the days that Paul lived. You know what? We're seeing that same thing today, don't we? When you look through that list that Paul told Timothy about, that these would be the last days, when I read that again in the office preparing for this message, I was like, almost every single one of those I see characteristics in our world right now. Jesus is coming soon, amen? And because of that, because of the times that we live in, we need boldness. Now, Paul spoke of chains. He was a prisoner because he made known the gospel. He was under house arrest, waiting for a trial that would ultimately take his life. And of course, we already know that Paul made it very clear in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." I want you to go back, if you have your Bibles with you, to go back to Acts chapter 4, if you would, please. Acts chapter 4. I want you to see a passage of Scripture here that kind of highlights the times in which they lived, the apostles, and some of the things that they were going through, and why I'm saying that we need boldness in the times that we live in. This is an account here in verse 19 through 37 of Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John were told in verse 18, it says, "And they called them," Peter and John, "and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." They had been preaching the gospel and they were turning the town upside down. They hated the fact that people were coming to Christ, and now they needed to tell them to stop it. They were given a cease and desist order. "You are not allowed to preach or teach the gospel again." So what do? How do they respond? The gospel is under attack. Look at verse 20. It says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen," John said. "We learned from Christ, and we saw him die, was buried, and rose again. We can't but speak about that." What did they do after that? Well, verse 23 tells us, after being let go, they went to their own companions, the Bible says, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they went home and they told, following the threats, they returned to their brothers and sisters in Christ and told them what happened. In verse 23, we read that they returned to their brothers. But notice, following this, It says in verse 24 that when they had heard that, what had happened, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the heathen or the nations rage? The people plot vain things. Kings of the earth took their stand. Rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. And it says, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I want you to see what they didn't pray for, because this is what sometimes we get caught up in when things happen to us, right? They did not pray for their circumstances to change. They did not pray for protection from the persecution that they were. And they certainly didn't pray for God to destroy their enemies. What did they pray for? They prayed for power. They prayed for boldness. Wow. How easy it is when somebody makes fun of our faith for us to crawl in a hole. We need boldness because of the times that we live in. Philip Brooks, many years ago, said this: do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power. Pray for power equal to your tasks. It's a great quote. What was the result of their prayer? Look at verse 31 through 33, because I love this passage. They were calling on God not to let them shrink in the day of adversity, but let their faith be strong and evident in front of people. And in verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. I don't know if I've ever been to a prayer meeting like that. That would be an amazing feeling, wouldn't it? That when you've got done praying, the Lord literally shook the house and let you know that he's saying amen to that prayer. I'm going to call my power into your life and you will be bold and you can preach the gospel. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it tells us that they spoke the word of God with boldness. And in verse 33, it tells us, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Man, we need that kind of power today, don't we? Ruth K. Jones wrote a hymn, In Times Like These. One of the verses is this: in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We need boldness because of the times we're living in. God will supply our every need if we just call on Him. Thirdly, we need boldness because of the opposition we face. Paul had been teaching the church in Ephesus about the armor of God because of the enemy that we face. In chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Paul had said that his prayer was that utterance would be given to me that I may speak as I ought to speak. Ephesians chapter 6. He needs boldness because of the opposition that we face. Paul told the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, We are not ignorant of his devices. We do not want Satan to take advantage of us, so we need to know about our enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We need to know about our enemy, the opposition that we face, and we need boldness to stand up to him. You know, the thing that makes me bold is knowing that I'm not alone. I have a Savior that has defeated that enemy. Listen, the battle we fight is very real, isn't it? The battleground may be different in your life than it is in my life, but the battle is real. I also want you to know that the enemy we face is very real. Satan is not, you know, the figment of our imagination. He is a real thing, and he is bringing real damage, not only to your life, but to the cause of Christ. He is seeking to kill, to destroy, and he wants nothing more to win in your life. But I want you to know, the war is already won by Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful news? It's not like we're fighting and then at the end of this thing we're going to go, "Oh man, if we would have just fought a little harder." The battle is won. The war is over, but he wants to defeat us. But I want you to know, because of the resurrection, we can boldly proclaim that our God reigns. And as long as you're living in submission to the will of God, that enemy is not going to be able to destroy you. Because of the resurrection, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 through 57, he says, "O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ezekiel in the Old Testament sought for a man to make up a wall, to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, the Lord said to them, but I found no one who could stand. There was no one who was bold enough to take a stand for the Lord, no one who was bold enough to speak up for the Lord, and no one to stand in that gap to make up a wall of protection against the enemy that was going to slaughter the people of Israel if they wouldn't. Today we have that same call that's going out today. We have an enemy that's wanting to destroy homes and families and the church. And we need men and women who are willing to stand in that gap, make a wall of defense against the enemy that's trying to destroy us, and stand up for Jesus. The enemy we face is real. The opposition is real. But Jesus has given us the opportunity to understand that he's already won the war. So we need to just fight for him. Paul prayed for boldness. And I'm praying that this could be our prayer. God, would you make me bold? Would you give me the utterance that I may open my mouth so that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak? So many times that we miss a opportunity because we're afraid or because we're a little timid or whatever it might be, but we need the boldness from God. Paul's prayer was for utterance. Tell you what, the world is lost and they need the gospel. We have the gospel, don't we? Let's be bold. Let's share the gospel with people. Let's tell them Jesus saves. Our job is not to get them saved. Our job is to tell them that they need to be saved. It's God the Holy Spirit's job to save them, right? So, what's worse, losing a friendship because you tell them about Jesus, or losing a friendship forever when you didn't tell them about Jesus and they die and go to hell? Considering the fact that Jesus may come today, we have opportunities that are limited. Let's not waste any more time. What are we waiting on? Always an excuse for something to be done later. Procrastination, we know, is the thief of time. We know that it's always some more convenient time. I remember when, was it Festus that told Paul that, You almost persuaded me. And I know that there are people who put it off, but you don't know if you have tomorrow. Your friend might die and go to hell without knowing the gospel. Considering the fact that Jesus may come today, let's not waste any more time, but Satan does not want our message to be shared. So let's be bold for God. Amen? Let's be bold for God. Let's share the gospel. Let's tell people about Jesus. No matter what the opposition is, no matter what the time is in our day and age that we live in, we need to be sharing the boldness or having boldness to share so that people will know what the gospel is. And that's my prayer today, that God will help us to have boldness to represent the Savior who has saved us, who's given us grace, that we can share the gospel with them too. Father, my prayer today is that we would look at the example of the apostles, Peter and John, that when they were told they couldn't preach the gospel anymore, they just prayed for boldness. And God gave them boldness to do that. There were so many chances that Satan could have put the church down, not let the gospel get out, but yet your men and women who were bold for God stood up, prayed, and asked God to help them. That's what we need today. We need men and women today who are not afraid and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray you would make us bold. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.